Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
So, Patrick, are you ready to talk about the new movie Sound of Metal on today's show?
Yep, I sure am.
Me too. The Los Angeles Times called it a bruising, deeply moving drama. And the New York Times said it builds a singular tension between silence and noise.
Oh, well, that's cool. But I'm just watching it for the Airstream.
All right, Patrick, it's been a long week, but we're at the end of the week, and
yes,
this might be a good time to talk about a movie that we just watched,
yeah,
right? So from time to time, we like to talk about music-related movies here on Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I am Patrick Foster.
And we have a long-time listener, a great friend of the show, who suggested a movie for us to watch, and we both just did that, and so we thought we'd have him on as well to talk
yep
about it and maybe some other things related to this movie. So with us today is Adam Coop.
Hey, Jim and Patrick, thanks for having me.
Ah, Coop! How you doing, man?
Doing great.
We always love Jim, it when you're on the show.
That's I know. Great. It's been too long, right, Jim?
I know.
Coop was a fixture of many of our episodes, yeah, including, you know, one of the funnest weeks I ever had on Suburbs Pod, driving out to Bourbon and Beyond in Louisville, which I mention with tears in my eyes every week on the show because we can't go to shows anymore. But one of the funnest trips I've had. And Coop, how have you guys been doing? And, you know, how has Louisville been during this tough time?
It's on again, off again. You know, right now, I think restrictions just lifted. But yeah, we're doing okay here. Only going out if we have to go to the grocery or buy the occasional record. Have to go buy the occasional record.
Yeah, that's right. Gotta go to Guest Room Records there in Louisville. Yeah, so
We're gonna talk about a movie. We do this from time to time. Talk about movies, and I don't think we yet have music for this, do we? I don't think we do,
not
right,
yet.
Patrick?
No, but we need it.
I think somebody might be working on it, but if anybody wants to do theme music for At the Movies, bring that on. Okay.
If you could do like a, you know, Morricone or Morricone thing,
yeah, that's right,
that'd be great. Yeah, like spaghetti western type would be excellent.
Yep. So, Adam, what is the movie you thought we should watch?
So, it's called Sound of Metal. It was a movie that I saw a preview for earlier in the year, and things got pushed around, but it finally released on Amazon, Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I just watched it last night, and you know, I got some stuff to say here. Patrick, you just watched it like today, right?
I did, Jim, and I watched it 1.5 times, and I thought it was very, very good. So yeah, I'm ready to talk about this.
Mm-hmm. So let me just set this up real quick for people who aren't familiar with the movie. And you can, as Adam mentioned, you can watch it on Amazon Prime. First of all, it's directed, first time director, Darius Marder.
Right.
And it's basically the story of this guy named Ruben, who was a, it's a fictional story, but he's a drummer in a, I guess from the title of the movie, you would say would be a metal band, although it didn't really seem like it exactly to me, but it's some kind of, you know, crazy hard rock, punk, metal, thrash, experimental, some kind of band like that, but definitely, you know, super, super hard and crazy, right?
Something I want to eat. He told me meat was carnal and cheap.
all of a sudden he just starts developing hearing problems and loses, you know, like 80% of his hearing or something like that, and goes to seek treatment in various different ways, and he sort of goes off and tells the story of a person dealing with sort of sudden deafness, and really gets into sort of the culture, the deaf culture, and sort of what does that mean, and how does it feel to exist within that, or to be part of a different part of society, right, or deal with sort of that coping, right, that you have to go through.
Totally, Jim. Yeah, and I'll also add that it's a love story too. There's a pretty compelling love story there.
Right. And one more thing I want to say about this, just I read today an interview with the director who's, you know, he obviously wasn't making this with the pandemic in mind, but he did say there's some parallels here since we were talking about that. He said in the sense of like what is normal. And so that idea of that, So think about this. It's really actually works out as a great metaphor. This idea that like you have sort of normal existence, then something suddenly happens that changes it. It becomes sort of a crisis, and then you sort of find your way out of that, but you don't really return to the way things were before.
Interesting.
It creates a new normal, right? That's just somehow different, right? So I thought that was a really fascinating thing for our times right now to watch it within that. Okay, I'll let you guys talk, but all I want to say is this. I found this to be a pretty fascinating movie. And what's interesting, I think, for our listeners is that although it's a movie that has music at its core, it's not really that much music in this movie. It's a very quiet movie. I mean, I guess you would maybe come to realize that based on the topic. But music plays this really kind of like understated role, I think, throughout in really interesting ways that I thought was really compelling. And so, okay, and I'll open it up to you guys. Tell me what you thought of the movie.
Yeah, completely well said, Jim. And fascinating, fascinating film. Coop, what was it about this movie that just, you know, interested you so much?
So two things. First of all, I love the movie, and Jim, to kind of touch on what you were talking about. If there's one con for this movie, it's that I wish there was more music in it. I love the movie for two reasons. One, if you're on Facebook, you may have saw my post that as someone who played in bands back in my teenage years and early 20s and stupidly did not wear hearing protection, I'm not deaf by any means, but I do have a permanent ringing in both ears.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I tell you what, once this pandemic hit, I didn't realize how much I actually read lips. It's sometimes very difficult to understand someone talking to me with their mask on. So,
interesting.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not deaf by any means, but when it comes to hearing, when I heard about this guy playing in a band who's starting to lose his hearing, I had to see this movie. And then also the secondary reason, at the University of Louisville, I was required to take 4 semesters of a language, and sign language counted for that. So I took 4 semesters of sign language at U of L, and what I loved about the movie is they were actually signing. That was actual sign language. That wasn't just made up. That's so frustrating when I see a movie and someone's signing and it's not sign language. One of the things that I connected with, I don't know if you remember the teacher at the deaf school.
Yeah, that was cool part. Yeah.
She's a deaf actress. I don't know if y'all watched. If you watch The Walking Dead, she's on The Walking Dead as well.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
And then kind of like the Riz Ahmed's mentor, Joe.
Yep.
Joe was, well, whatever, I'm not sure what his name is, but he was raised by deaf parents.
Wow.
So he, all that signing, he actually is hearing. But all the signing was it was great. I really love that they nailed that aspect of it for me. But yeah, wow. we grew up with friends in the deaf community. Went to church with them. My dad signs extremely well. I haven't used it much over the years, so I've forgotten more than I remember. But there is a one guy at work who's deaf, and I do sign with him every day. But it's more of like a how you doing, how was your weekend type of thing. So, but yeah, I thought it was great, the portrayal of the deaf community.
And that's what I really like about it too. I like any movie that sort of takes me to a world of which I have very little reference, right? Yep. Very little frame of reference. And so I thought that was really, that was very compelling. You mentioned the American Sign Language. So I just read today that, so the lead actor is Riz Ahmed, and he spent 6 months learning American Sign Language and also learning how to play the drums. So,
wow.
Well, and also bulking up, because he put on some muscle for that.
Oh, hell yeah. 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 And I got to tell you, guys, there was a part in this movie, although it was intense and serious, as you are talking about, when I laughed really loud. And it was like at the beginning when he goes like, I used to imagine Jeff Goldblum was my dad, and I watched The Fly, and I was like, that's my dad. And I was like, that's so weird that it's got to be real, you know? Like, that's really funny. And also, that was a badass Airstream trailer that they had.
Oh, goddamn. Yes, it was.
It had, like, a recording studio in it.
Yes.
And also... you know, an amazing life partner, and that whole relationship between those two is amazing. And there's a very moving scene, folks, at the end, and you got to watch the movie. You know, definitely recommending it.
Yeah.
The main character, the drummer that we've been talking about, goes through an intense transformation, and then witnesses his, you know, love of his life singing with her father late in the movie in French. And it's quite a moving scene. It really is. And you know what I love, Coop, too, was the way they use the audio on the film. Like sometimes it would crackle, you know, it was so fascinating. What did you think about that? I thought it was great.
Oh, yeah. I think they did an excellent job of that, like that low hum that you might, you know, that where... Yep. Where that you can hear that noise in the background.
You guys sound check?
Yeah. No, not yet. No, going on it.
Yeah. Margaret sound checked yet? Joe, you sound checked yet?
No, not looking forward to it. Terrified. Half my shit's broken.
And then also in scenes where there's just no audio whatsoever, right? I mean, it just, the audio completely drops out and it's just all visual. That's one of the things that I, the sound direction for sure in this film helped tell
so
the story.
Inventive. Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah.
So, yep. I also read about that too. And they spent apparently... some insane amount of time trying to really figure out the way to replicate audio in a real way that a person with, you know, that a deaf person would hear, right? Because correct me if I'm wrong here, Adam, I don't think most people who are deaf are completely deaf, right? They hear something, right? And so that's what they were trying to sort of replicate. But think how difficult that would be, because for a hearing person, how do you replicate it in a way that would be accurate? Because I'm not sure that the deaf person would be able to really fully explain how it would sound and wouldn't necessarily be able to hear what you have created. So I don't know. Like, that's a really compelling thing to think of. They apparently spent a ton of research to like figure out how to do that sound engineering, right?
Well, and another thing, when he's in the deaf community and they're sitting around the dinner table.
Yeah,
you got to think, if you can't hear, how do you get someone's attention? You smack on the table, right? The vibrations, and that right there is just, I've seen that in action in real life. So my professor at U of L, at the University of Louisville, he was deaf. So if we wanted to communicate it with him, we had to sign. So, and that was one way that he would, he'd get your attention to smack that table, you know, smack the table or smack your desk. And,
wow, right.
So that was a great, like, slice of life moment to show everybody signing at the table. There's what, 8 or 10 people around the table, and everybody's eating and everybody has, everybody's signing. And, you know, it looks very chaotic, but That's how they communicate. I mean, think about if you were at a party, right? You'd be yelling over somebody else. They just happen to be signing over somebody else.
Yes. Well, I gotta say, Coop, too, that scene, I don't want to give the whole movie away, folks. Right. Go watch it. But there's a scene late in the movie where he is at a party, and the way they do that is amazing.
Yes. I thought that was really great.
I just want to say one more thing, too. The kind of music the band played made me want to, like, buy their album. But also, the T-shirts that he was wearing, like, were so on point. Like, I just said New Bowden, which we've talked about on our podcast, and, like, Rudimentary Pen Eye and all these, like, super intense, crazy noise bands. Man, they really, really did the research. I mean, it was so great. Yeah.
So the name of the band is Blackgammon, and you better believe I immediately went online to try to find a shirt. Right?
I mean, the stuff they were doing was, like, amazing. Where did that come from? You know, with just a drum and a guitar and, like, and there's a very heartbreaking scene, too, I'll tell you, really quick, when you know, he's watching her perform on video. It's kind of amazing. Yeah.
I want to build on something Adam said about the vibrations, because I think this is important, why they made this character a drummer and not, say, a guitarist.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what have you. Because I think in some way, even though it takes a long time to get there, he could relate to the idea of vibrations as some form of communication, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what he was that's what his music would be, right? It's
totally,
it's a form of communication in itself. And so when he sort of, like, gets to that level of acceptance, and I think the key was that, I won't say too much here, but that I thought was a really touching scene with the playground slide.
Oh yeah. That was my favorite scene.
That was
Jim.
It, man.
By far
that was
my
when
favorite.
You sort of realized,
yeah, it made the,
like,
whole difference. Yeah,
yep,
you're right.
Yeah. And I think it made him realize, like,
oh, that was great.
Things may have changed, but he hasn't lost everything, right. And so and then there's another scene later which I thought was really important to me, because I think everybody has these kinds of thoughts, like, what would happen if you lost one of your senses, right? What would life
be
like?
That's what I'm saying.
And I always think, like, God, you know, if I couldn't hear, then I couldn't appreciate all these records I have, right? And I couldn't do all that. But there was a scene where somebody's playing that piano, and all the students, and he's one of them, he's with these group of students, were, like, putting their hands and forearms, like, on the piano itself to feel the music. And I thought, so that was really telling to me, because it was this notion of, like, you can still experience music, it's just in a different way, right? And in some ways,
never gonna leave you.
Maybe it's even a more intimate way, right? Feeling it into your body as opposed to just listening to it coming through a radio speaker, right?
Well, it's an amazing point, Jim, and I think we've kind of proven our point that you need to go watch this movie.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well,
but also, let me say this. I think one of the most fascinating things about this film, and Coop, thank you so much for bringing this to our attention and the attention of our community, is that, you know, when you get down to it, right, it's about belief. And that's one of the most amazing things, I think, about this film, especially, you know, as you mentioned, the deaf community, belief and belief in, you know, why we're here and all that. So having said that, I just think it's a great watch.
Now, Adam had an idea for another question he wanted to throw out related to this. So what was that question?
I don't know about you all, but I'm at an age now, especially with the hearing damage that I have, is that I have to take earplugs to concerts. So what are, what's the loudest concert or some of the loudest concerts you've ever been either a part of, whether in the audience or on stage?
Well, I can tell you right off, and I may have said this at one time in a podcast, I once went to a Big Black concert, and the opening act was Pussy Galore featuring John Spencer, and I've never heard anything so physically abusive in my entire life. And wow. And Steve Albini just seemed to be enjoying how, you know, ridiculously painful
right.
It was. So that's it. Never been at anything louder. And, you know, in all those years, you know, whenever I've said this before, and Jim and I have talked about this, when Jim or I come home from a show and our ears are ringing, wow, it was pretty loud.
Yeah, for me, it's probably Bob Mould. I think probably the Bob Mould shows I've been to have been the loudest. And, you know, he prides himself on that, I think, in some way. This is probably a bad thing to admit, but like, I don't wear earplugs or protection or anything like that. And I know that I probably should. But I think I've said this before too. And again, don't do this, kids. This is not what I would recommend to do. But I always kind of, to me, it was always sort of like a feeling of accomplishment in some way if my ears were ringing the day after a show. You know what I'm saying? Like, I went out and did something last night. I went to a loud rock and roll show, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
But the thing with Bob Mould is my ears would still be ringing like 2 days later. And that's when you think... That's when you realize there may be a problem.
Yeah, that's when you get really scared. Is like, wait.
What's your loudest show then?
So I have two. They're on opposite ends of the spectrum. About 3 or 4 years ago, U2 played at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium.
Hmm.
And so it's a football stadium. And we were standing... basically against the rail that's next to the stage and right in front of some speakers, huge subs. Wow. So for several days afterwards, you just had this low hum from those subs.
Right.
And then on the opposite end, a year and a half ago, got to see the Raconteurs at the Blue Room in Nashville.
Right.
And standing about 10 feet from Jack White's amplifier. He had like a, you know, Fender Jazzmaster or whatever on the stage. But it was due to the height of the stage, I was basically staring at his amplifier. And probably a solid week.
Feeling.
I had cotton in my ear, and actually driving home that night from Nashville, I was trying to listen. I had to turn music off because literally I couldn't understand it. It was, my ears were ringing in and distorted. So yeah,
wow.
I take earplugs with me now.
Good.
Make sure to stand back away from the speakers. I've done enough damage. I want to be able to hang on to my hearing as long as I can.
No, that's a good thing. That's what you should do. So,
Man, Coop, I totally know what you're talking about. Like, if you are in that one, you know, firing line of an amplifier, like in the middle range, it's so painful. I've done it to myself.
Thanks, Adam Coop, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And if anyone out there wants to comment at all on Sound of Metal, we would love to hear what your thoughts are. You can call, you can leave a message, and we'll put your voice on an upcoming show. The number is 612-440-1984. There you go. Or you can email rock@suburbspod.com or find us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram @suburbspod. All right, let's get out of here, guys. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us has been
Adam Coop.
All right. Thanks. We'll talk to you all later.
And, you know, just want to, you know, encourage people to just go see it and not necessarily listen to what we just said. So erase this podcast, go listen, go watch a movie, come back and listen to it again.